Maya Angelou lived in this rambling yellow house just down the road from Wake Forest's campus. A few hours after she passed away inside, people are driving by slowly. Some point out the window. Everyone is keeping a respectable distance. Angelou was renowned for many things, including hosting large parties in this house. Most Aprils, Angelou even held a class here. Matt Williams was one of her lucky students.
I remember when the registration opened up. It was a 9 o'clock call, and I remember sprinting from the opposite end of campus to Triple Hall, where our English major is, so I can physically write my name down on this yellow steno pad to register for the course. So knowing that I was admitted was probably the best feeling ever.
The class Angelou taught did not disappoint. It was called World Dramatic Poetry, and she demanded that students memorize poems and recite them with all the passion she brought to her own work.
I remember this one woman in the course, she was reciting Phenomenal Woman, which is one of Dr. Angelou's most famous works and one that requires a lot of bravado and sassiness. And she had a very small delivery and voice. And Dr. Angelou says to her, "Speak up, be bold." And she said that when you speak small like this, it lets a brute know that there is a victim in the neighborhood.
I say, it's the fire in my eyes, the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally.
No wonder that young woman in her class felt some pressure. Angelou didn't just read poetry. She embodied it and brought it to life using all of her considerable talents, not the least of which was a unique, singular voice. Angelou came to Wake Forest in 1982, when she was in her late 50s and already very well known. Her best-selling memoir, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, had been published 12 years earlier. Wake Forest earned instant credibility in hiring her, and over the years, whatever they paid her proved to be a bargain. Mary DeShazer is a professor of English at Wake Forest.
I think what she brought to our university was her own immeasurable talents and openness. She was willing to speak at so many events at Wake Forest. She often spoke at first-year orientation to first-year students, many of whom chose Wake Forest because she was here.
In one of her final public appearances, Angelou spoke to students as part of an event called the Dignity and Respect Campaign. In the speech last October, Angelou was in a wheelchair and spoke for only 10 minutes, but offered glimpses of the strength and power she brought to all of her presentations.
I thought for a long time that I was a writer who could teach. But after being at Wake Forest for 5 or 6 years, I realized I'm a teacher who can write. It is true, I've written a number of books, some 31 books, and I'm grateful for that. But the truth is, I am a teacher, and I like it. I like the fact that I have something to say, and I'm blessed to have enough courage to try to say it.
The worth of any teacher, of course, is determined by her students. Again, Matt Williams.
I feel like a piece of Dr. Angelou will always be with me. And I think the idea of that you are somebody and that you are a human being and that you're connected to the next human being is something that I want to continue to carry on. So as I think about her legacy, I mean, she's inspired me to continue to be a champion for these things.
Angelou had not taught at Wake Forest since 2011 because of failing health. But before she passed, she'd already signed up to teach a course this fall called Race, Culture, and Gender in the South and Beyond. Among the many who mourn Angelou today are the dozen or so students who were denied the chance to wake up early, sprint across campus, and sign up for the experience of a lifetime. Dave DeWitt, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.